Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. And we're presented by EMP, 182 Weight Loss Structure, Accountability Results, a standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMP182weightloss.com. EB's out today. Three-man show. It's Cakes, Bish, and JP. We've been talking about the Caps Lightning game last night and the series throughout the show. And we talked about what went wrong and what's been different these last couple of games.
Lars Eller. I'm sorry. I had something caught in my throat.
Clearly
there.
Lars Eller with the five penalties in the last two games. Mm-hmm. The Lightning, they've converted six out of 14 power plays. Vasilevsky is playing much better. He's stopped 72 out of 76 shots in the last two games. Save percentage of 94.7%. So despite the fact that the Caps outshot Tampa, they're getting the better goalie play and they've evened the series. But we kind of wanted to throw this out there and I think it would be fun with theories. Article in the Washington Post about the Capitals struggling at home. On the road, this playoff series, the Capitals are 7-1. And now on home ice, the Capitals are just 3-5. Why are the Capitals not at home in their own building? What's your theory as a Capitals fan? 800-636-1067. Do you think this is just coincidence, small sample size, or do you think there's something there? The Caps are struggling at home.
I wish I had the answer. I wish I had the answer why the Caps just can't seem to beat the Tampa Bay Lightning on home ice ever in the playoffs.
It's kind of baffling. The only theory I would give you is they're playing pretty good teams. Right?
Yeah, and caliber of competition is raising with each round of the playoffs.
I mean, they're playing Tampa, who had 113 points. They played Pittsburgh, who had, I don't know, 100 points or so. They played Columbus, who was pretty good.
This also extends to last year. Last year against Pittsburgh, they lost games 1, 2, and 7 at home. So they
didn't lose to Columbus at home in this year in the playoffs this year. They lost the first two on the road, correct?
No, that was the first two at home.
That's right. They lost the first two at home. They're playing better teams.
This goes back to last season, though. You lose 3 out of 4 at home to Pittsburgh. You lost that in seven games.
Again, playing pretty good teams.
Of course. We understand that. In the playoffs, you're always playing against good teams.
That would be my only answer.
But generally speaking, in the playoffs, you're supposed to have, and I understand that it's kind of extended throughout the NHL where teams haven't had home ice advantage, but do you theorize that they play tight because of the history? I don't really buy into that.
Do they feel more pressure when
Ovi's taking a slap shot?
He's not thinking about where he is.
He's thinking about, man.
No, he's not thinking about where he is.
Got a lot of ghosts and demons here in playoffs.
You would think that you would play better at home because you don't have to travel. You're sleeping in your own bed. You're around your family and your friends, your loved ones. You don't have to deal with hotels and planes and travel. You'd think it would be easier at home, but for the last two seasons, it's been tougher for the Capitals to get wins at home.
What's their record at home this year in the playoffs?
I have to look it up at this point, but it's
sub 500.
Sub 500.
3-5.
7-1 at home on the road. 3-5 at home. Barry Svrluga in the Washington Post writes: the Caps treat their opponents at this point like invited house guests. They vacuum the floors, wipe down the counters, fluff the pillows, pour some cold drinks, and smile upon entry. And when the Caps go on the road, they are rude and belligerent. They knock stuff over. Well, they actually play differently on the road? I don't know.
So 6-10.
Tend to believe that the home ice and road thing, it's a little bit fluky. It's just that in this particular series, Vasilevsky's just played lights out the last two games. So he's played better. And Lars Eller's been a donk the last two games. To just keep it simple.
Well, it's not just the Caps. In the whole NHL in the playoffs, home teams are 34-39 at home.
Yeah, I mean, I just chalk it up to you're playing really good teams.
I thought home ice advantage was a big deal in the NHL, but according to those numbers,
well,
it's
is in the regular season. Not one team made the playoffs with a losing record at home.
Right,
right. But also remember, in the regular season, there are back to backs. Here you got a night off every time, so maybe the travel thing is diminished. And it's not like this is huge travel.
It's like a 2.5 hour
DC
flight
to Tampa.
So in the last 3 years, including this year, at home, they are 13-16 at home in the playoffs.
I mean, that sounds remarkably similar to the numbers Drab just pointed out about all teams in the playoffs are about five games below 500.
Why can't the Caps deliver in this building? They had a chance in the previous round against the Pens, right, to clinch it at home. Instead, they clinched it on the road to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. Why is this happening? Let's go to the phones, 800-636-1067. You can posit your theories. Tyler is in Gambrels. Tyler, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
What's up, boys? How you doing? Real happy to be able to call back in again today.
Oh, this is the Tampa fan. This is the Tampa fan.
This is Tyler from Tampa.
Look at that recall, so, Jason.
I just want to, you know, start off by saying I think everyone's taking my talk about the DC curse too literal. But in the same sense, you know, I hear Lurch talking yesterday about how he feels like if he puts his jersey on after a loss, that jinxes the team.
Right.
You know, how is that not similar?
And it's called hypocrisy.
That you're superstitious. You're superstitious in many ways. But, you know, something has to be said about the fact that when you get in a spot like this, history plays a mindset, not only in the Caps, but in most every single team in this city, every single fan in this city. And, you know, here we are again. You guys are staring down the barrel of the gun. And, you know, you got to question yourself how you end up in this position every single season.
Well, the answer is we've just been beaten by better teams. We're not cursed. There's no curse.
Oh, no, I get that. But then you got guys like Jerry from Bethesda calling in yesterday. And he'll acknowledge, yeah, in years past, you know, the curse has been real. But this year's team is different because of the fact that we got past Columbus and Pittsburgh. You know, that right there is the loser's mindset. You didn't get past anything. You got past into another round, but what you're chasing is a cup. What you're chasing is an entry into the championship game. And people just feel like when you do these, you have these tiny little victories that you're winning a war, and you're not.
You know what you're trying to do. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to get the Caps fans riled up. That's what you're trying to do.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's infuriating hearing the way that, you know, they talk when nothing has been won here. I mean, I'm 30 years old, so I've got a bunch of friends from this area, and they're listening right now. They know I'm calling in and joning. But the fact is, you know, historically, from a national perspective, teams will look at a team like Washington, and they put them on a pedestal, kind of like how EB does with football teams. Some teams he just doesn't respect. You know, the Lightning have been there over and over and over in the postseason, have made these runs. And, yeah, they've lost. They haven't won the Cup in recent years. But just like Lurch said, they went to how many Game 7s in the Eastern Conference Finals? They're knocking on the door, and that's what it takes. Consistently be a team.
Tyler,
they won the Cup more recently than the Caps did.
Tyler, I know where you're coming from.
Oh, yeah, that's very true.
Tyler, I know where you're coming from, and you have bias, but I'm curious. What did you think of the play, not the score last night, who got the better of the play overall, and what do you think is going to happen moving forward?
I think that for the entire season right now, you guys have not seen a true Tampa Bay hockey team, that they are not playing up to
what they
should.
What did you think of the play last night? Who got the better of the play last night, in your opinion?
I think that the Lightning did, because they won the game.
And what do you think is going to happen the rest of the series?
The same thing that I told you yesterday.
So you believe that the Lightning are going to win the next two?
He's not picking the Caps.
Okay, 4-2. Thank you, Tyler.
Okay.
We got a bunch of people on the line that want to chime in on what we were talking about. Why don't the Caps win at home in the playoffs? Let's go to Mike in Fredericksburg. Mike, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Good morning, Junks.
Hello, Mike.
I just remember what I believe it was Cousy said after the Game 6 win, knocking out the Penguins out, and I forget who it was, interviewed him, asked him, like, you know, why they do so well on the road, and he just said, like, it's nice, you get away from the wife, you get away from the kids, you get away from all the, you know, other stuff you've got to do when you're at home, and you're able to just solely focus on hockey. And so I don't know if he's just speaking for himself, if he's speaking for the whole team, but
I saw
if I had
interview.
To point
I thought
at something.
He was, I thought he said that in a good-natured way, because if it was Pierre McGuire who asked him the question, I can't remember who it was either, The question was phrased like, aren't you happy to be going home? Because they knew that games, they knew that to be going home. And he was like, it's not a big deal because my wife's not around anyway. She was on vacation.
Okay. She was just kind of goofing around.
I felt like it was not serious. Let's go to DJ in D.C. DJ, you're on with the Sports Junkies. What's up?
DJ?
Yes, sir.
You're on the
air.
What
do you think?
I think the thing is this. I'm listening to the commentary, and the bottom line is this. You win when you're supposed to win. It's going to happen when it's supposed to happen. Everyone has these theories and this, that, and all that. It's just like the Eagles fans were frustrated for years when they couldn't make it to the Super Bowl a couple of times, yeah, but then they finally pushed through and got the thing last year and won the ring. It's just the bottom line. When it's your time, it's your time. The Caps are going to keep fighting. They're going to keep pushing. Hopefully they'll get it done because we're all fans in this, in that order. I am a native Washingtonian, so I root for all D.C. teams, and the Caps are no exception. So the thing is, just keep having the faith, fight for them as they fight through it, and sooner or later they're gonna bring the Stanley Cup home. That's the bottom line. Oops, it happens when it happens.
Here's what needs to happen for the Caps. I know this is not about what they do at home, but for the next game at Tampa, they need to do exactly what Tampa did in Game 3. They need to be led by their superstars. We saw what Stamkos, Kucherov, and Hedman and Vasilevsky did. We need the Caps to do the exact same thing. You need Holpe to be 90%+ save percentage on the road. He needs to get back to that form. Ovi has to get back on the scoring sheet. I know he had the assist last night. We need a goal or two from him. We need more from Kuzi. Kuzi's been outstanding throughout the playoffs. You need that to continue. That's your blueprint for winning on the road in Game 5.
Let's go to Alexandria. Joey, you're on with the Junkies.
Hey, guys. I heard this guy Tyler talk yesterday. I heard him today. I really wish one of you would have kind of burned him a little more. I mean, he keeps calling, I've been here for 6 years. I've seen it all. RG3, the curse. I mean, he really just needs to shut up, man. Like, we've been here for 20, like, going through this for 20 years. He doesn't know what he's talking about. There's no curse. We outplayed them and we lost. We're moving on to Game 5. Please roast this dude. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
And he acts like he does. The Caps outplayed him, because I do think the Caps did outplay Tampa.
He accomplished his goal. He got you riled up. That's
true,
exactly what he wants to do.
I think what Tyler thinks is that every single Caps fan in D.C., Maryland, Virginia, is walking around puffing our chest out because we beat the Penguins. It's not the case. Caps fans are happy to get past the Penguins because they've tortured us in the playoffs for so many years throughout the franchise history, but Caps fans aren't satisfied with just a win over the Pens. They realize this is the best opportunity for Ovi and this group to win a cup. Not satisfied with just a win over the Pens. You got to close it out.
By the way, I want to say
this. Got to get to the cup final.
Tampa Bay has won 11 of their last 17 at home in the playoffs.
Right.
But their last two to the Caps.
True. And then they've won 16 of the last, they're 16 and 11 since 2014 year. All right, so they've got a better record at home than the Caps do in the playoffs in recent history.
Right. Coming up next, Chris Russell, Caps Insider, here on the Junkies.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Who loves Tampa, ricked a lot of our listeners.
Oh, he gets,
Tyler.
He gets people so bitter.
Hurting Tyler from Tampa.
Well, you know what? If you're going to let
him. You know what? Making an executive decision. If the Tampa Bay Lightning go on to win the series.
Tyler's banned.
No crowing from Tyler.
Come on.
No. I'm making a decision for the show. Tyler, if Tampa Bay wins, not allowed to call in and crow about it.
If we get a miracle.
Because I don't want to hear it, and nobody's listening wants to hear it.
You crying, boy?
Keep crying, boy?
Maybe we'll go back down to McDonald's and get you a Lamburger, some French fries.
Keep his number, too. Keep Tyler's number. Because
what's that from,
the Caps
Valdez?
Can miraculously win this series,
Joe,
we are going to call
Joe
Tyler.
Dirt. Joe Dirt.
Joe Dirt. I sleep. I've big David blind Spade. Spot for Joe Dirt. I should probably watch it.
That's Caps fans looks when
like,
Tyler calls.
Looks like it's right up my alley.
All right, join us right now to talk more Caps. Lightning is our Capitals insider, Chris Russell. He is presented by Dominion Jewelers. Custom engagement rings and jewelry in the heart of Falls Church. They make it beautiful. You make it yours, DominionJewelers.com. Chris Russell, what is your best piece of jewelry?
Wow, that's a great question, JP.
I only have one. It's a wedding ring. I don't think I don't know.
Yeah, I got rid of my wedding ring a couple of years ago.
Do you have a watch?
Hey, was that a good move or a bad move for you?
Well, it wasn't a very good financial move, I can tell you that much. Oh, boy. This is the,
do you own a watch?
Yeah,
do you own a chain?
Is your life happier?
Yeah, well, in some ways. Like right. Tyler, I am hurting when it comes to jewelry.
Hey, but you say hurting pretty well. I'll give you credit there, Rooster.
Occasionally, the rooster can come up big when called on the carpet.
What's more hurting, your jewelry collection or Lars Eller's play?
Lars Eller over the last two games.
Well, just so I don't get in any more trouble here, I would say definitely Lars Eller's play. Oh, my God, please stop taking minor penalties. Please, Lars.
Yeah, what is he doing?
I mean, he was arguably the best Cap through the first two games of the series. He's such a nice guy. He's a great player when he's fully engaged. And, I mean, when Barry Trotz calls you out and hammers you, basically, as much as Barry Trotz is going to hammer somebody publicly, and he pretty much did. It's all on Lars. You know, he said point blank last night after the game. When he does that, I mean, what else can that tell you? Because it's led to, of course, a couple of power play goals, and even the one last night in the third period. Yes, it doesn't come on the power play, but it comes 6 seconds afterwards. They're still chasing tail. They're still, you know, they're running around in their zone. They're kind of discombobulated, if you will. So no, it doesn't come on the power play, but I still, in essence, count that. Again, you can't count it as a power play goal, but I still sort of look at that as partially on Lars Eller and partially a result of the penalty kill that had just ended 6 seconds before.
You know, Rooster, Michael Kempney should send Lars Eller like some sort of gift card today.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
He's basically taking him off the hook for one of the worst turnovers and passes I've seen in recent Caps playoff history that led to Tampa's first goal. Did you see that? And did you see the white streak coming in and intercepting the puck and realize this is trouble immediately as soon as you saw it?
It would happen so quick because, you know, and of course I'm tweeting, you know, the game for the station. And so, you know, you look down and every time you look down, like you miss something, you know, hockey's such a fast sport. And so I saw it just out of the corner of my eye. I'm like, and boom, it's in the back of the net. And that's the problem, is Tampa is such a good passing team, and they are tape to tape, and they make you pay so quickly for these mistakes, whether it be on the power play, because you take a bad penalty with their passes, or in this particular case, Cakes, with the pass by Kempney, or with the bad decision on the backhand by Kempney. Now, the thing that I will say about Kempney, he's been great, as we've talked about it. You know, I mentioned this with you guys a couple of times, and I know Grant's talked about this, maybe the greatest trade in Capitals trade acquisition history. I don't know if I'm going to go that far, but Michael Kempney's been great for them. So I'm not going to kill him. He made a bad mistake, bad time. It came a minute and, 10 seconds after the Dmitry Orlov goal, which was a tremendous sequence. It really took away some of the momentum, no doubt about it. It hurt. There's no question about it. And yes, Lars Eller's kind of poor play, poor decision certainly does take away some of that sting. But the bottom line is Eller's poor play over games 3 and 4 is kind of more sustained now. So I think you have to point the finger much, much, much more at him. And I think that's I think Lars would say the same thing. If he was available after last night's game, which he was not, I think he would say the same thing as well.
Does Barry make a line change with Eller's involved?
Well, here's my question, and it's a good question, Jason. I would. With Backstrom back in the lineup now, and Backy played on the third line last night with Chandler Stephenson and Brett Connolly, I would, assuming that he came through last night, and he, by all accounts, and he said he did, so we'll take him at his word, and he looked fine, he didn't look great, and then you get some rust off, I would put Backstrom back up with either Verana and Oshie on the second line, or if you wanted to reunite Chandler Stephenson, Backstrom, and Oshie, as it was for much of the playoffs, and I would take Burakovsky out of the lineup. Burakovsky was terrible last night. That's the other guy that, along with Eller, is a major GOAT sorry, my alarm's going off, so I didn't oversleep and forget about you guys. Burakovsky was just dreadful with the puck. And he should have, quite honestly, he shouldn't have been in the lineup.
He doesn't look right. He doesn't look right. Yeah. I mean, Chase, why not put Chase on back in there?
You know, I was surprised by it. I mean, all day long, I thought, A, Backstrom was going to play. First of all, the decision to play Backstrom, I was full bore with. I thought he was going to play. Wednesday, I watched him up close when I was actually on the station. I was in the penalty box, of all things, at Kettler. And, I was 10 feet from him. I thought he looked great. So I thought he was going to play, right? And all day long, I was convinced that Chiasson was going to be in the lineup and that Burakovsky was going to be the guy that they would put out. And that's the way they rotated them on the lines Thursday morning at the pregame skate. So I thought it would be Burakovsky. And then Burakovsky is in the lineup, and okay, you're like, well, maybe you need the speed and skill. All right, fine. I can justify that. Barry's going with that. But then Burakovsky keeps turning the puck over a couple of times on the power play. He cannot be in the lineup. He's lost his confidence, whatever. I understand he's streaky. I understand if you get the good Andre Burakovsky, fine. But to me right now, Andre Burakovsky's lack of confidence and Lars Eller's inability to stay out of the box is killing the Washington Capitals in way too many ways right now.
Joined by Chris Russell, Capitals Insider, presented by Dominion Jewelers. I'm taking this directly from RussianMachineNeverBreaks.com. Since 1985, the Caps have lost a playoff series that they led either 2-0 or 3-1 10 different times. Mm. And as much as I don't want to let the sordid playoff history creep into my brain, when I see numbers like that, I can't unsee them. Do you think that that's filtering into them at any point? At this point, now they have the 2-0 lead. It's back at 2-2, and all the pressure is on them to get another road win.
Why can't we close out?
Yeah, I think some of it certainly does filter in to the Ovechkins and the Holtbys and the guys that have been around for a while. They used to say, and Barry specifically would say, and maybe he said it to you. I'm sure he said it to you guys, right? That was the past, has nothing to do with this group, blah, 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 all that. Well, sure. I mean, it has to filter in because they constantly get asked about it, constantly gets mentioned, and then they constantly kind of live up to the billing, right? Whether it's fair or it's unfair, the bottom line is it's reality, right? The Lightning 15 years ago were down 2-0 in a playoff series to the Capitals and won that series.
Right.
So here we are again. And yes, it's only 2-2. And yes, game five. And yes, the Capitals dominated games 1 and 2 at Amalie Arena in Tampa. And that's where we go on Saturday night. Look, I don't know how anybody could be feeling great right now. Do you feel okay? Sure. If most people said 2-2 after 4, I think you'd take that. I don't think most people would draw it up the way it exactly did. You guys were talking before I came on why they can't win at home. I mean, that's the question that not only we can't figure out for the Capitals, but think about it, right? The Nationals can never win a game 5 playoffs at home. The Redskins can't win playoff games at home. The Capitals can't win at home game sevens, game playoffs. The last 2 years, they're 6-9 at Verizon Center / Capital One Arena. But I will also point out this year, league wide, the league as a whole in the Stanley Cup playoffs, 34-40 at home. It's the second lowest win percentage cumulatively since 1967 for home teams.
Yeah, but Tampa does have a winning record at home. And I think they're going to win. They're going to win one of these two games that they have at home. If they win Game 7, they win the series. Yeah. But they are going to win one of these two.
Rooster, what I think gives me a ray of hope going forward is I think as you get deeper into Stanley Cup playoff series, the refs tend to swallow their whistles a bit more in Games 6, 7. Mm-hmm. So the Caps are clearly a better 5v5 team. But once it goes over to the power play, the Lightning are basically unstoppable. They're almost at 50% for the series. 6-13. I mean, you can't let them have the extra man.
And they were better at not taking the penalties last night, even though they scored on the one power play and Stamkos. And that was, I thought the Caps, by the way, defended that better. I thought they defended that a little bit better in terms of their formation. They were a little bit tighter. I talked to Alan May after the first period. And by the way, as you guys probably know, Alan is just brilliant when it comes to hockey X's and O's. Salute to him. But we were just talking about just like the different things that we saw, and he was pointing out some different things that he saw, didn't like. But we both generally agreed that the Caps played that a little bit better, even though they got beat. And then, again, they killed off that one other penalty in the third, albeit they scored 6 seconds later. Either way, I thought the Caps were a little bit more disciplined last night in that regard. Hopefully that carries over to Game 5. Again, got to stay out of the box, period, but hopefully that carries over. I thought they played a little tighter, a little bit more of a what they call a diamond coverage inside the zone, so that was a good, not to get too nerdy. But you cannot give them chances. And here's the other thing, guys. You know, everybody talking about the penalty kill for the Caps, fine. Yes, that's a huge part of it. Their power play, the Caps' power play has sucked. Mm-hmm. It's 0-7 in Washington, and it's 3-14 in the series. The Lightning power play was 28th in the NHL in the regular season. It was the number one key for me going into this series as to why, if the Capitals would win, they were 72%, I think the number was, in the first two rounds of the playoffs in their 10 games coming into. It was not good. And the Capitals scored two power play goals in the first two games. They scored the three power play goals, in the first two games down in Tampa in the two blowouts. They're 0-7 since coming back to Washington. And not only that, those three power plays at the end of the first period last night in that 7.5-minute sequence, on the last two, they had two combined shots on net.
Two. But they did have some really good looks in the first three power play. And then they had good looks on the 6-on-5 when they pulled Holtby. You know, I know it's tougher because you got five guys there, but they had some really good looks.
The first of the three power plays in the first period, they had five shots on goal. Ovechkin had a couple of blistering slap shots, but they were right in the middle of Vasilevsky's breadbasket. Great save. But they did have some really good looks. The 6-on-5, Jason, from my vantage point, I don't know if you guys saw something different. I was frustrated as all hell because it seemed like, again, much like their power play, trying to look for the perfectly timed backdoor pass, trying to look for the perfectly timed one-timer, instead of shooting the damn puck and trying to get a rebound or a bounce or something. And I understand Tampa gobbles up a lot of block shots. I know they got a lot of shots on goal, but still it wasn't enough for me. I'm still a believer in this dirty goal, shooting more volume. And I think everybody that I talk to, not everybody, most people that I talk to is still of that same ilk and theory. And the Capitals seem to be more finesse and less everything else.
Mm-hmm. Well, they did outshoot the Lightning 38-20, but it wasn't enough in the end. That's Chris Russell, our Capitals insider. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
All right, Chris.
Thank you, Rooster. Chris also doing a fantastic job on the Caps beat.
Yes, he is.
Known, obviously, for doing his work with the Redskins beat.
It's not over.
I'm not saying it's over.
Look, most Caps fans don't feel great about this. I don't feel great about it.
You have to win 2 or 3. You have to. Game 5's must win. If they lose Game 5 in Tampa,
I think Game 5 and 6
any confidence in them coming back here on home ice and extending the series.
Are you doing the individual game emotional hedge on Saturday night, Jason Bishop?
Yes.
Because you said you already bet on Tampa for the series.
Correct.
So for Game 5, how much will you bet on Tampa to win?
I don't know. What's it worth to have them advance?
I don't know. I
bet $500 on the series.
I told you yesterday.
But that only pays me $250.
Yeah. I went to EMP 180 Weight Loss, and I ran into somebody who was going there for the first time, so he was having his initial consultation. And he was butt-sized. He was a big-time Junkies listener. He had a Nats tattoo, I think, on one arm and another sports tattoo on the other one. I didn't quite notice it. I think his name was Lee.
Mm-hmm.
He had just won $4,500 on betting against the Caps for Game 3.
That's a nice score for him.
So we don't know what
it
he did in Game 4.
It sucks that he won it by betting against
Just bet. It was like a beaten-down Caps stand. It was like, I couldn't see the Caps winning 3 in a row.
Right.
Tampa's minus 175 for Game 4. So I might put 175 to win 100.
you're happy either way. You either cash Absolutely. In because Tampa wins, or you're happy that the Caps take a 3-2 lead in the series.
Absolutely. I desperately want the Capitals to advance.
Phone number is 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Coming right back. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Live on NBC Sports Washington. A couple of little random stories to mention that we haven't gotten to because we've been so Caps heavy on the show. Just little nuggets. Could have pieced it together with the 5-10. Mm-hmm. One, did you see what the Toronto Raptors did? They fired Dwayne Casey, and then he was nominated for Coach of the Year, and then they congratulated him.
Step into my office, because you're f***ing fired!
Is it true that Brad Stevens didn't get one vote for Coach of the Year?
That was in, I don't think that was in the writer's poll. It was in some sort of separate poll, but yes, that is true.
That's unbelievable.
Probably based on the regular season. Didn't he
do a pretty damn good job during the regular season?
Yeah, they were 2-seed.
Yeah, without their best two players for the most part.
Hopefully I'm never in a position to ever have to fire anybody, because that's a very awkward thing to do. But if I did have to do it, I would have to have Harlan Williams queued up.
Step into my office.
Think about it. The Celtics are two games away from the NBA Finals, and Kyrie's been out for a while. Hayward's been out for the entire year. It's not like they are loaded with savvy vets that have a lot of NBA experience outside of Horford. Most of their guys are young. But they're just doing an unbelievable job.
I don't disagree with you. He deserved some recognition, but my guess is that Mike D'Antoni probably received a bunch of attention. I think the Rockets won 65 games in the regular season. The Utah Jazz, were they a 4-seed or 5-seed? Nobody expected them. They don't have one all-star on the team. Not one.
No, but they got a really good player.
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell's a stud.
Okay, but not one all-star, and he's a rookie.
Well, he should be.
So people believe that those coaches...
He'll be a multiple all-star in his career. People believe those coaches took their teams
to greater heights than what was expected. And then Dwayne Casey, 59 wins in Toronto.
Yeah, Boston won 55.
Another little side story. Hard Knocks said that they're going to do the Browns this year. Do you like that decision? They could have gone with the Ravens. For example, they could have gone with the Redskins. There's only a handful of teams. There are certain circumstances
interesting stories outside of Mayfield do you have with the Browns?
I'm over
Hard Knocks, by the way. They were winless.
Hard Knocks okay, is a winless team.
Is that an interesting story? Yeah, that's why I wouldn't want to see it.
Hugh Jackson, will he survive? You're probably going to see him jump into Lake
Erie. Aren't you over the Hard Knocks formula at this point? You're still riveted to it?
I said that for years.
I don't love it.
EB used to say, it doesn't matter, it's great, it doesn't matter what team. To me, it matters the team and things like that. But people still watch it. That's why they're bringing it back.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sure
I'll watch some of them. I'll be honest with you, I think I've missed Hard Knocks for the last... I probably caught a couple episodes each season, but I think I've probably missed...
And your life's still okay,
the entire
right?
year. I probably missed it 3 or 4 times as
well. I'm not even sure who they did last year. And they did the Rams, but I feel like that might be 2 years ago. Or was the Rams last year?
I thought they did the Texans a couple of years ago.
I can't remember who they did last year.
I think it was the Bucks.
Yeah. Very forgettable.
Very forgettable.
You know who's forgettable? Dirk Cutter. Very forgettable guy.
That's my guy.
You love Dirk Cutter? Watch his ASU ties.
But I guess with the Browns,
you know what's forgettable? Hard Knocks is forgettable.
No, but with the Browns, you've got Baker Mayfield, you've got Josh Gordon, and you have
a team that didn't win any games.
Yeah, I don't care about any of it.
Hard Knocks and the Browns.
I mean, unless Baker Mayfield's going to get in fights with cops after a night at the bars.
He gets tackled, into a fountain.
Then I don't care.
Have you heard the story of Savannah Phillips?
I have not, but it sounds kind of like a porn star name, if I had to guess.
It does, but it's not. Savannah Phillips was left in a flood of tears on a flight because she was branded a smelly fatty by what has been dubbed the cruel bully on a plane. She says, though, her faith in humanity has been restored because a fellow passenger stood up to his vulgar behavior.
So it was a guy calling her. Okay.
She was not the only person who could see what he was writing. So there was a guy seated next to her.
Oink, fatty.
Who, look, she was looking at it.
We have the guy. We have his quotes.
She was looking at his texts, but she saw that he called her a smelly fatty.
You disgust me.
Smelly fatty.
I mean, that's a terrible thing to say. It's just a random passenger on the flight.
Yeah. Yes. Someone was sitting next to her.
Have you ever texted...
She
about
said
a
the
random
phone,
passenger on a flight to
she
somebody
said the
else?
The phone was 12 inches from her face, so she saw it.
I guess when the plane landed, she was in tears. Or I guess they were on the runway, actually. She was in tears. The man behind her, in the seat behind her, all of a sudden someone from behind her, or tapped the guy on the shoulder and said, "Hey, I need to talk to you." The guy takes off his headphones and said, "We're switching seats now." So he actually stepped into the mix. Would you ever step into the mix like he did because a guy essentially bullied?
I'll be honest, no. I mean, unless it's blatant, I'm not going to be looking at somebody else's cell phone like during the flight. I'm not going to get involved. If I'm sitting on in an airplane, I'm looking directly at the tray in front of me. I'm trying not to engage with either person on either side unless I already know them.
So the guy behind,
unless it's family or flying with you donks.
I don't know how.
I don't like talking to strangers on planes.
Get it? The guy
or strangers
would you
anywhere.
Would you rather be fat or smell?
That's a tough one.
You know, I mean, it's the worst to be both.
I can wash away the smell. Like,
no, some people just have bad body odor.
So smell? You can work off the weight.
Yeah, but it's easier to take a shower than it is to work off the weight.
Yeah, but if you are both fat and smelly?
Yeah, it's bad. It's a deadly mix.
We'll have to ask AWOD. Yeah,
exactly. That's a good thing. That's a bad hand, Casey.
Now he's the bully. It's a very bad hand.
So the guy behind her said, "We're switching seats right now." So
the guy behind her, I guess, noticed. I don't know. Everybody's reading this guy's text. Or maybe he reacted to her crying and figured out what was going on. So let's just imagine, I don't have the exact scene chart, but I would just imagine she's in the middle.
Right.
The guy next to her on the aisle seat is just how I would imagine. Apparently a guy in his 60s.
He was sending the
text. Hey, I'm sitting next to the smelly fatty.
You know what, the guy behind.
She saw it?
She saw it, was crying. Right. The guy behind then says, "Dude, what you're doing is ridiculous."
Right. I mean, unless someone puts the phone right in front of me, there's no way I'm ever reading someone else's
text. I would honestly like to fly in between, like, two mute people. People that just can't really
communicate. Or somebody like me who sleeps the vast majority of the flight.
Yeah, but then you might like, lean over and put your head on my shoulder.
I don't do that.
Is that a picture of the girl right there?
Yeah.
I mean, she looks pretty cute in this. I mean, she looks like she's probably a little bit thick. But if she smells, then that's a game changer.
It's a deal breaker.
I mean, where was the flight from and to? Is it like a long flight?
You know, I don't have those details.
Can you imagine going coast to coast against next to a smelly fatty?
It would kind of suck.
It would.
But be a
grown-up. By the way, there's 100% chance I would text you if you were three rows back.
Of course
that
you
I'm
would.
Sitting next to a smelly fatty.
You're a monster.
What did I say about the old woman? I said, ask her how... how good Ty Cobb looks when she's on play.
Right, and she had just sat down next to me or walked by me. Oh, you're joning.
See, I was text bullying.
Yeah, you're text bullying. Yeah. You're cyberbullying.
I'm no better than that guy.
But in some ways, you could say she's invading his privacy.
Right, why is she snooping on his text?
She's reading his text.
She's creeping on his text.
Right.
You know what? She's partly to blame.
I've felt guilty before because I've definitely crept on somebody's laptop when they're watching a movie.
All right, that's different.
Right next to me.
That's different.
Like, if they have the laptop.
They're offering it up. If they're watching a movie, they're offering it up.
I agree.
Valdez, where do you stand on the fatty smelly deal?
Well, I don't understand why she's reading private text messages.
Right.
It's not like he was holding the phone out for her to read. So
Now, did it say that the guy was in his 60s, the text bully? Now, if you're in your 60s, those donks tend to have a big text because their vision is, when you're sitting in your 60s, the text is big.
True.
Like, you can't avoid it.
True.
He probably had smelly fatty in font that was this big.
She still has to look over there. The phone's still this size.
Okay, that's true.
Still has to look
maybe it was a poop emoji and a pig.
Maybe. Yeah, the 60-year-old was making the emoji game.
They don't do emojis, do they?
He was joking! Do you not understand jokes?
I get it. I understand it. Yeah, it's a debacle.
I'm just surprised that
she smelled. Usually girls smell good. Usually.
Yeah.
Usually.
Right.
I mean, I believe him. I believe the guy.
You're on Team Smelly Fatty.
Well, I'm just saying, I believe that she definitely smelled.
Yeah, yeah.
She smelled. Now, maybe she took her shoes off during the flight. That tilts me, too.
By the way, I want to let people know.
When people take their shoes off during flights.
I want to let people know about Crop Metcalf, because if you're an experienced HVAC technician, plumber, or pest control technician, and you want to join an industry leader, Crop Metcalf, they're looking for the best to join their 5-star team. Crop Metcalf technicians enjoy excellent benefits, competitive wages, and a consistent year-round work schedule. If you're ready to jumpstart your HVAC, plumbing, or pest control career, call 1-800-GO-CROP or visit CropMetcalf.com. Submit your resume today. Crop Metcalf, home of the five-star technician and proud partner of the Washington Nationals.
Big one tomorrow.
Yep, big one.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.